Welcome back. This is Tellier de Jargon, part 10. 10, eh? Malkut, anyone? Or Malkus, for you Ashkenazi folk out there. Yes. How's everybody doing? That's good. That's good. I'm doing well. well, I suppose...
BT.
Oh, hey, Pymander. What a pleasant surprise.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going quite well. Thank you very much.
I don't want to take up too much of your time. I just wanted to let everybody know. So Buddhist Books Podcast, I started in December of 2021. Then in March of 2022, I decided, hey, I should record an introduction for this thing, right? And then in March of 2023, I thought, hey, you know, Buddhist Books Podcast has evolved and changed and kind of come into its own quite a bit over the past year. So I should re-record the introduction, put a new introduction out there for the beginning of the podcast or whatever, the big, you know, introduction to the YouTube channel. And lo and behold, I noticed it's March 2024. It's been over a year since I recorded that introduction. And once again, Buddhist Books Podcast has evolved and changed and come into its own even more since last year's introduction. So I recorded a new introduction. And before I point to the corner and link you to it, I just want to point out to the folks who enjoy watching Chicken Philosophy. Now, I don't know if you know this, but BT and Gwydion and Edward all have exactly the same face. Sometimes Gwydion and Edward are wearing exactly the same shirt, but Gwydion has like the blue stuff on, you know, on top of it. And if you zoom in, or if you listen very, very closely to my voice, you might notice that I too have that same face. Basically what I'm saying is if you enjoy Chicken Philosophy, you'll probably enjoy Buddhist Books Podcast, because it's kind of the same idea, except instead of sitting over there in front of those books, I'm sitting over here in front of these books, and instead of reading Carl Jung and some Christian and Muslim stuff, I'm reading a lot of Buddhist stuff. And yeah, so that all being said, if you would like to check out Buddhist Books Podcast, maybe real quick, you can see the introduction video, and then, you know, if you want to, you can come back and watch BT recite Tellier de Jargon. This is a good place to start. The new introduction, recorded March of 2024, after 250 episodes of the podcast have already been completed and uploaded. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for letting me interrupt your episode of Chicken Philosophy, and I hope everybody enjoys the Catholicism today. Back to you, BT.
All right. Thank you very much. And yeah, check out that introduction, especially any of you folks out there who have an interest in Buddhism. Why don't you go on over and check out Buddhist Books Podcast? But for the rest of you who are, you know, saved, then let's learn a little bit more about Tellier de Jargon. You know, Lord Buddha may have chosen the moment of his death with a little help from some pork, but he didn't resurrect from the dead. True story, I had a student who he was asking me about Buddhism back in L.A. Sanctuary days. Here's some pictures of the L.A. Sanctuary. That was the room adjacent to my room where I performed Golden Dawn ceremonial magic and taught it to others. And yeah, I had one student who came and he was asking me about Buddhism because he saw the statues of Buddha, and I was sort of generally known around the temple as being the Buddhist among them. And yeah, I talked for a long time, talked about the wheel of life and death and the life of Siddhartha Gautama. And when it was all finished, he said, well, Lord Buddha may have... Well, no, he didn't call him Lord Buddha. He said the Buddha because he was American. I got into the habit of saying Lord Buddha after coming to India 6 years ago. That's how they refer to him here. Anyway, yeah, so he says the Buddha may have chosen the moment of his death, but he didn't resurrect from the dead. And I got really mad at him. Anyway, but he's like one of the... He probably, if I make one of those little shorts and put it up on the BT Facebook... For those who don't know, I have four Facebooks. And if you go to the description in the YouTube, if you're watching this on YouTube, down at the very bottom, it shows the channels for each of us. They're, the one for me is Esoteric Nerd. And that one, if you click through, there's a link on the YouTube channel to the Facebook page for the Esoteric Nerd podcast. That's not going to help. But if you search for Edward Reed, because at one point, Meta, back then it was called Facebook, wrote to me and Pymander and Gwydion and said, prove that you're who you say you are, because, I don't know, we were inviting thousands of people to the Golden Dawn Universal group or whatever it was, you know, that we were doing that made Facebook. Is this, who is this? Yes, it's a real person. Here's my ID. And so then they all switched to Edward Reed. So before there was Edward Reeb, Gwydion de Los Angeles or whatever, and Pymander Aquarian and Frater BT. Those were my four accounts. And now I have four accounts that all say Edward Reeb, which my friends sometimes joke about when they get invitations to things from four different Edward Reebs. Or sometimes people say, oh, I don't need, why does he want me to be friends with four different accounts? I only have room for one. And then they pick a random one. And then they only get this much of a peek into what I'm doing. And that's okay. That's all right. That's their choice. They're free to do that. But yeah, there's four Edward Reebs. And speaking of beefs I have with Meta, the Pymander Aquarian one, if you go to the one that says Edward Reeb and it says Pymander Aquarian in parentheses, and you notice there's no cover and there's no posts for the past 10 years, that's because Meta has decided that you shouldn't be allowed to see the hundreds of posts or the cover photo because they're Meta. And they're doing their best to choke the potential of the noosphere out of it. Yeah, and it's all voluntary, like the Mark of the Beast. You know, when the internet was new, it was like, oh my God, people are going to be able to talk to each other. And then these platforms come along and say, yes, but only on here. Get everybody on here. Everybody talking on here. If you're not here, then you don't exist, and if, you know, you people, you're missing everything, and we're going to decide what you're allowed to talk about and not talk about. And then, just to rip the fucking dagger in, the powers that be, the great Satan himself, has decided that 99.9% of the people who complain about that very thing that I'm complaining about right now are going to be, like conspiracy nut Trump supporting flat earthers and shit, you know. So, it's insidious. It's insidious. The only thing you can do is unplug. All right, now that we've got all that out of the way, let's get to today's reading. Unplug. Unplug. Turn it off. Turn it off right now. Don't watch the rest of this video. Just fucking turn it off. Turn off the phone. Turn off the computer. See what it's like to live 24 hours without a glowing screen. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Please. Please. I beg you.
Edward. Get my magnifying glass. And of course, Editor Edward is a little ahead of the game today, having been playing Libera from the very moment that the great chicken wheel told you that we're reading Tellier Desjardins today, and that I'm Frater BT. Let's get to it. This is section 3 of whatever, I don't remember. We're halfway through the book, so it's like part 2, yes, part 2, part 3. So it's big 2, small 3. The passive, and that's the chair squeaking, not my ass, just in case you were wondering. Okay, the passivities of diminishment. To cleave to God,
hidden beneath the inward and outward forces which animate our being and sustain it in its development, is ultimately to open ourselves to and put trust in all the breaths of life. Anybody watch The Click? If I were doing bingo, I would mark that one as actually wholesome. All right. The Click. All right. We answer to and communicate, in quotes, with the passivities of growth by our fidelity in action. Okay. Hence, by our very desire to experience God passively, we find ourselves brought back to the lovable duty of growth. The moment has come to plumb the decidedly negative side of our existences, the side on which, however far we search, we cannot discern any happy result or any solid conclusion to what happens to us. Plumb it. Plumb. P-L-U-M-B. It. It is easy enough to understand that God can be grasped in and through every life. But can God also be found in and through every death? This is what perplexes us deeply, and yet this is what we must learn to acknowledge as a matter of settled habit and practice. Unless we abandon all that is most characteristically Christian in the Christian outlook, and unless we are prepared to forfeit commerce with God in one of the most widespread and at the same time most profoundly passive and receptive experiences of human life. Is he talking about? What is he talking about, actually? I guess we'll keep reading. But there's a footnote, and I'm just kind of curious. Where was the footnote? The title. The Passivities of Diminishment. Shall I read the footnote for the title of this section? The Passivities of Diminishment? Sure. Then we'll get back and find out what is the most profoundly passive and receptive experience of human life. I have my theories. If in speaking of evil in this section we do not mention sin more explicitly, it is because the aim of the following pages being solely to show how all things can help the believer to unite himself to God. Wait, did I skip a word or two? It is because the aim of the following pages being solely to show how all things can help the believer to unite himself to God. Yes, I did, and now I've resolved, fixed it. There is no need to concern ourselves directly with bad actions. That is, with positive gestures of disunion. Sin only interests us here insofar as it is a weakening, a deviation caused by our personal faults, even when repented, or the pain and the scandal which the faults of others inflict on us. From this point of view, it makes us suffer and can be transformed in the same way as any other suffering. That is why physical evil and moral evil are presented here almost without distinction in the same chapter on the passivities of diminishment. Okay. Back to the text. I think the footnote, that was also from Taylor Desjardins. That's why I wanted to read it. I don't think that's like a translator's footnote or something. I mean, it sounded like someone who knew what he was talking about what he's saying, about what Taylor Desjardins is saying. And only Taylor Desjardins knows what Taylor Desjardins is saying. and Ralph Mabry, I like to think, but probably not. Okay. The forces of diminishment are our real passivities. Their number is vast, their forms infinitely varied, their influence constant. In order to clarify our ideas and direct our meditation, we will divide them into two groups corresponding to the two forms under which we considered the forces of growth, the diminishment whose origin lies within us, and the diminishment whose origin lies outside us. The external passivities of diminishment are all our bits of ill fortune.
Okay.
We have only to look back on our lives to see them springing up on all sides. The barrier which blocks our way, the wall that hems us in, the stone which throws us from our path, the obstacle that breaks us, the invisible microbe that kills the body, the little word that infects the mind. All the incidents and accidents of varying importance and varying kinds, the tragic interferences, upsets, shocks, severances, deaths, which come between the world of other things, with other in quotes, and the world that radiates out from us. And yet when hail, fire, and thieves have taken everything from Job, all his wealth and all his family, Satan could say to God, quote, skin for skin, that's Satan's voice, skin for skin, and all that a man hath he will give for his life, but put forth thy hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and then thou shalt see that he will bless thee to thy face. End quote. Wow. I wasn't expecting Satan's voice to sound like that, to be honest. In a sense, I guess after seeing Powerpuff Girls, I should have. In a sense, the loss of things means little to us because we can always imagine getting them back. What is terrible for us is to be cut off from things through some inward diminishment that can never be retrieved. Humanly speaking, the internal passivities of diminishment from the darkest element and the most despairingly useless years of our life. Some, what? That was a whole sentence. Let's see where the subject and the predicate are. Humanly speaking, the internal passivities of diminishment, form. There's the verb. The internal passivities of diminishment form the darkest element and the most despairingly useless years of our life. I mean, maybe if you're talking in terms of, like, farm work, but in terms of, like, writing, dispensing advice to oncoming generations, being the president, not so useless. I'm assuming he's talking about getting old. Yeah, useless in the terms of, like, sexy business, right? Although there is Viagra now, which also helps with Alzheimer's. So, there you go. Some were waiting to pounce on us. Speaking of Viagra. As we first awoke, natural failings, physical defects, intellectual or moral weaknesses, as a result of which the field of our activities, of our enjoyment, of our vision, has been pitilessly limited since birth. Actually, my vision was rather good when I was 9. Others were lying in wait for us later on. And that was 1987, by the way. You can do the math if you want to, but I prefer you didn't. Others were lying in wait for us later on and appeared as suddenly and brutally as an accident, or as stealthily as an illness. All of us, one day or another, will come to realize, if we have not already done so, that one or other of these sources of disintegration has lodged itself into the very heart of our lives. Wow, that sounds like a curse, Father Teilhard. All right. Or just an observation, he would probably clarify. Sometimes it is the cells of the body that rebel or become diseased. Yeah. At other times, yeah, I mean, if you're talking in terms of, like, one day you're going to have some kind of issue or other. I mean, yeah, everybody dies, so if you count that as, like, a passivity of diminishment, then, well, you're correct.
Okay.
At other times, the very elements of our personality seem to be in conflict or to detach themselves from any sort of order. I don't know what you mean. Just kidding. And then we impotently stand by and watch collapse, rebellion, and inner tyranny, and no friendly influence can come to our help. I resent the use of the word impotently, but the rest rings true. And if by chance we escape to a greater or lesser extent, the critical forms of these assaults from without which appear deep within us and irresistibly destroy the strength, the light, and the love by which we live, there still remains that slow, essential deterioration which we cannot escape. Old age, little by little, robbing us of ourselves and pushing us on toward the end. Time, which postpones possession. Time, which tears us away from enjoyment. Time, which condemns us all to death. What a formidable passivity is the passage of time. It's also life. I added that part. That wasn't in the book. In death, as in, I mean, what would life be without the passage of time? Life is the passage of time. It's temporal. Sorry. In death, as in an ocean, all our slow or quick diminishments flow out and merge. Ooh, now he's talking my language. Death is the sum and consummation of all our diminishments. It is evil itself. Purely physical evil, insofar as it results organically in the manifold structure of that physical nature in which we are immersed, but a moral evil too, insofar as in the society to which we belong or in ourselves, the wrong use of our freedom by spreading disorder converts this manifold complexity of our nature into the source of all evil and all corruption. We must overcome death by finding God in it. And by the same token, we shall find the divine established in our innermost hearts. In the last stronghold which might have seemed able to escape his reach. Here again, as in the case of the divinization, in quotes, of our human activities, we shall find the Christian faith absolutely explicit in what it claims to be the case and what it bids us do. Christ has conquered death, not only by suppressing its evil effects, but by reversing its sting. Christ has risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon us in the empty stowing life. That's it. Okay, sorry. By virtue of Christ's rising again, nothing any longer kills inevitably, but everything is capable of becoming the blessed touch of the divine hands, the blessed influence of the will of God upon our lives. however marred by our faults, or however desperate in its circumstances our position may be, we can, by a total reordering, completely correct the world that surrounds us and resume our lives in a favorable sense. Diligentibus Deum omnia convertuntur in bonum. Just making the best of the fact that there's Latin randomly thrown into the text. That is the fact which dominates all explanation and all discussion. But here again, as in the matter of the saving value of our human endeavor, our mind wants to validate to itself its hopes so as to surrender to them more completely. Quomodo fiat istud? It's a question. It has a question mark at the end. What's the answer? This study is all the more necessary because the Christian attitude to evil lends itself to some very dangerous misunderstandings. A false interpretation of Christian resignation, together with a false idea of Christian detachment, is the principal source of the antagonisms which make a great many Gentiles so sincerely hate the gospel. Resignation plus, what was it? A false idea of detachment. Okay, so in the beginning of the book, you talked about how it's like a paradox because it's ultimate attachment and ultimate detachment, right? Was that? That was in this, right? So if it's detachment only without attachment and resignation, then people hate it? Maybe he'll explain. Let us ask ourselves how and in what circumstances our apparent deaths, that is to say, the waste matter of our existences, can find their necessary place in the establishment around us of the kingdom of God and in the milieu of God. It will, as in the divine milieu, it will help us to do this if we thoughtfully distinguish two phases, two periods, in the process which culminates in the transfiguration of our diminishments. The first of these phases is that of our struggle against evil. The second is that of defeat and of its transfiguration. Cool. All right. Next is A. So we're in part two, section three, A. But we'll do that next time. Who's up next? Who did it last time? I don't know. Someone, one of us is gonna read. It's probably I won't venture to guess. It's all very confusing to me. The Great Wheel will tell us who is going to be reading Tellier Desjardins next. And then we'll find out a little more about the passivities of diminishment. Yes, I remembered the title of the section. That's nice. Okay, well, for those who made it this far, cheers. And perhaps since this is, after all, the 10th episode, if you would join me for a decanate. Since this was all about death, Ave Maria is all about in ora mortis nostrae, you know what I'm saying?
Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae, amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae, amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen.